This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Hamdan kathiran, tayyiban, mubarakan fee, mubarakan alayhi, kama yuhibbu rabbuna wa yarda. Jalla jalaluhu wa amma nawaluhu, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil habib al-Mustafa, sallallahu ta'ala, alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran, ila yawmiddin, amma ba'd. There are two subjects we're going to cover again today, in short, in brief, inshallah. The first one is obstinacy and pomposity. I know they sound very pompous terms, but they're very simple concepts that many people will be challenged with. As I mentioned that in this series, we're trying to pick out very individual, not so frequently spoken about topics and trying to get some thought-provoking discussion out of it, so that inshallah, the more this kind of stuff is discussed, the more we can actually home in on those types of issues within ourselves, even if it's a small iota of those things. And we can all inshallah become just better insan, better human beings, and then of course better ibadallah, better servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obstinacy and pomposity. What exactly is that? Obstinacy in Arabic is called inad. Inad. And inad just means somebody who's very, very stubborn. Obstinate. Pomposity that goes hand in hand with inad and obstinacy, that in Arabic is called mukabaratul haqq. Thinking yourself too big and too great to accept the truth. Mukabara. Mukabara comes from the word kibr. Kibr is from arrogance, pride. Mukabaratul haqq. To show pomposity in the face of truth. Denying the truth after knowing it. And that's exactly as the Prophet ﷺ described it. One of the Sahaba, he'd come to the Prophet ﷺ and he was a bit concerned about whether he was proud or not. Because he'd heard a description of what he'd heard that the Prophet ﷺ was criticizing pride and arrogance. And the Prophet ﷺ was mentioning it as a sin. So he came and he had a genuine question because he was worried about himself. See, unfortunately, this is very different to the questions that we will receive today. The questions that the ulama generally receives is, that person has done this and that to me. What is my right? Whereas the Sahaba, their questions were generally about themselves. This is the issue I have. Is this a problem? So he came and he said, you can see how handsome I am. You can see how much beauty Allah has given me. And I love that everything about me is beautiful. Up to the level of the straps of my sandal. I mean, there was something to do with straps in those days. I mean, today straps of sandals aren't a big deal. The sandals themselves are. But in those days, in Arabic literature, you will see shiraku na'alay. The concept of the strap of the sandals, they were special. Because I think the bottom was just pieces of leather that were sewn together, and then it was the strap that made it special. And if you see, they were quite ornate, quite elaborate. He says, you can see the beauty that I have been given, and I love everything about me to be beautiful, including up to the straps of my sandal. Is that arrogance? Is that pride? And the Prophet ﷺ explained that, no, that is not pride. Pride is not that you have good things. Pride is that you look down upon somebody else and you deny the truth. When the truth becomes clear, you're not willing to accept. You're not willing to change your position. And you look down upon others. You are degrading of others because you think yourself higher than others. Now, you may be higher. I mean, this needs to be clarified. You may be of a better family for those who come from backgrounds that have family hierarchies. certain families and tribes are known to be superior than others. In England, there's no such thing. But many of us hail from other countries and other cultures, and there are hierarchies in those cultures. And if somebody's been born into a particular class of sweepers or cleaners or tailors or whatever it may be, then sometimes people don't give you daughters in marriage. So unfortunately, this goes around. But then a person from that background may work very hard and mashallah gain great accomplishment, both from a worldly perspective and from a dini perspective. Whereas those who are from those so-called higher aristocracy, the higher aristocracy as such, they get left behind because they think it's sufficient for them to just bask in the sunlight or in the light of the glory of their forefathers, and they get left behind. So for a person to just look down upon others because they come from a certain area or village or a certain postcode or whatever it is, I mean, it happens. In East London, it's not going to happen much, right? But you know what I mean. So it's that kind of a thing. To be arrogant about something, I mean, you can't be arrogant even about self-accomplishment. How can you be arrogant about something you did nothing to attain? We're not even allowed to be arrogant. So now look, you may have something superior, you may be better, you may be more handsome, you may be more wealthy, you may have a better voice, you may have better qira'ah, you may be able to speak better than others, you may be more intelligent. All of those things are possible. But who is closer to Allah? That's the question that needs to be asked. The other person may be a nothing. He has nothing, he has no renown whatsoever, and you may be more renowned than so many other people. But that person may be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what really matters in the hereafter. Yes, if we're just worldly people, then it only matters what matters in the world. But as Muslims, everything we do in this world should be done in light of the hereafter. We do things for this world, but with a view of the hereafter. How is this going to be projected onto the hereafter? That's what's important. Now, obstinacy and pomposity in the face of truth, this inad and mukabaratul haqq, these stem from ostentation, hatred, envy, or covetousness. All of these are reasons for where this comes from. Ostentation is love for fame, love to be known, to be heard. And what is very frightening in this regard is that there's a hadith, man samma'a samma'a Allahu bih, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever wants to be heard, sama'a, whoever wants to be heard, Allah will cause him to be heard. If you want to become famous, if you want to become known, you can pay a advertising company, if you've got the money, and you'll become known. They'll put you on all these posters for whatever. But does that mean any acceptance? So just because a person is well known or popular doesn't mean he's more accepted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once we believe in this, it just crushes you completely. It is so helpful to know this because it really takes care of the narcissism. So being obstinate and denying the truth, this either comes because you want to be well known. If you now agree and acquiesce to what this other person is saying, which is the truth, you think you will lose your fame. Just the fear of that leads you to be obstinate and stubborn. Another reason, hatred. You hate somebody so much that you don't want them to be right. That's why you deny the truth. And look at the people like Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, who died around the age of 43 or so. A young man, but so wise. He said that when I have a debate about a mas'ala, about a ruling with somebody, my dua is always that the haqq and the truth manifest on the other person's tongue. So that the truth becomes known, but I don't have to win. I just want the truth to be known, and it's better that it manifests on that person. What selflessness is that? Will that person be obstinate? So, hatred for another person that you don't want them to ascend, and thus you feel that you can't let them have the last say. Envy, jealousy. You're jealous of that person. You may not hate them, but you don't want them to have the higher position. So you deny it. I mean, all of, if you think about it, anytime you've had an argument, you feel bad about just giving up and say, okay, you're right. It's mostly for these reasons. Or covetousness, greed. Extreme greed. Hirs. That leads a person to obstinacy and not moving from their position. And of course, it could either be just an ideological debate, or it could be about the ownership of a piece of land. And that would be worse than just the ideological debate, because in the ideological debate, it's just about you being stubborn. You're not really harming the other person. You're not taking anything of this. It's just an ideological supremacy you want. But where it's about, I cannot say that my father made a mistake, even though I know he did, deep down. I convince myself, you know what happens sometimes? Stubbornness will lead you to convince yourself against the truth. And if you think that's not possible, then read the books, the studies on the mind. The studies on the mind show that if somebody tells you that when we were young, when we were 10, 15 years old, you did this, that, and the other. And you think, no, I can't remember that. But another person comes and tells you the same thing. Despite your initial disbelief, you can get your mind to start believing that, and to even then create extended details of how that may have been. They did that test on a number of people. They got people close to them to say something to them that, oh, remember this? No, I don't remember that. Yes, remember you did that, and then this is what happened, and so on. And then they start doubting themselves. And then a few days later, you go and speak to them about it again. They did this under proper study. I think it's David Eagleman. He's got this in his book about the mind. And they had now created an entire narrative and a story about that incident. And then they were told, no, it wasn't you. So the mind, a person can do this. That's why evidence is so important. So don't trust your mind all the time. Our minds can play tricks. So these are all reasons why a person may be obstinate and act with pomposity in the face of the truth. Each of these things, ostentation, hatred, envy, and covetousness, leads to obstinacy, pomposity, and the lack of submission in the face of the truth. Najmuddin al-Ghazzi, he mentions in his book called Husn al-Tanabbuh, of the deeds and traits of the obstinate, of the traits and characteristics and the deeds of the obstinate person, is their pomposity and unwillingness to change despite seeing clear signs, of which they take no admonition. They don't take any nasiha. They get themselves more and more deep. They dig themselves deeper and deeper, whereas they could have walked away in the beginning. But that arrogance, it was just too much for them to move away. It has been narrated, that when the winds of destruction came to the people of Aad, the famous story of Aad, and when the winds of destruction came to the people of Aad, they held hands and stood firm because, you know, they were big and they thought that they could withstand this. So they held hands and they stood firm, planting their feet into the earth, saying to Hud alayhi salam, who will move our feet? Who will remove our feet? So the wind plucked them out of the earth. That the punishment is always in accordance with the sin. That's why it's mentioned that in the hereafter, when people are resurrected from their grave, and they will be driven to the mahshar, That's Yawmul Ba'ath, Yawm of Resurrection, the day of resurrection. Resurrection means a person coming out of the ground and becoming alive again for our second life in the hereafter. Then everybody's going to have to go to the mahshar, the gathering place, where the hisab will take place. So you've got Yawmul Ba'ath, then you've got Yawmul Hashr. The hashr is the drive, the gathering. Each person will be driven. Sa'iqun wa shaheed. Ma'ahu sa'iqun wa shaheed. You'll have a driver with you. Everybody will be gathered. Then you will go to the mahshar and then the hisab will begin. That's Yawmul Hisab. So these are different stages. Now, during this time when people are led to their mahshar, they will be representing the sins that they used to do. So the arrogant ones will be like tiny ants. And they will have to be dodging people going over them. The liars will have huge tongues coming down that everybody will see this. And it's just various different forms of representation, manifestation of the sin that they commit. You know, it's because of belief in all of these things that kind of temper us down and change our approach to these things. If you're a worldly person, what can cause you to change your arrogance? Unless a person has tasted the punishment in this world of being arrogant, what's going to make you change? You sometimes look at other people who don't care about these things. They're just so arrogant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَأُهْلِكُوا بِرِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةٍ سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعَ لَيَالٍ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ حُسُومًا فَتَرَى الْقَوْمَ فِيهَا صَرْعَى كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ فَهَلْ تَرَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَاقِيَةٍ. Surah Al-Haqqa is a very powerful surah. So as for Ad, they were destroyed by an immeasurable, clamorous wind. He subjugated it over them for 7 nights and 8 days without a break. Do you see any of them left and remaining? These were the days of no blessing. These were ayyamun nahisat. They had no blessing. The days of finality. These were the days ajuz. They called ajuz because they came at the end, the ajuz of winter. Or because an elderly woman, an ajuz of the Ad, attempted to hide from the wind in her basement, in her cellar. But the wind plucked her out of there as well and broke her neck. When the punishment of Allah comes, it can get wherever it may need to. The day mentions that the traces of their punishment remained manifest every year on the anniversary of these days. Every day on the anniversary, every year on the anniversary of this punishment, those days then were the intensity of the cold and the dryness of the wind could be felt to serve as a lesson and an admonition for those of reflection and insight at the time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has defined arrogance as refusing to accept the truth and considering people to be beneath one. As mentioned in the hadith that I mentioned earlier, which is related by Imam Muslim. The first point of this definition of arrogance is the crucial test of humility. A person going through the test of humility. When a person learns the truth, deep down you know, in your mind it dawns on you, in a matter of faith, attitude, or a person's practice, deed, or deal, especially when attested to by the ulama of sacred law, then one should drop one's usual habit or personal opinion or private understanding, and he must follow what the ulama mention. Without this, there can't be any humility to listen to people of knowledge. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned as a sign of the coming of the Day of Judgment is that وَإِعْجَابُ كُلِّ ذِي رَأْيٍ بِرَأْيِهِ. For every person who can hold a position to be stubborn and to be self-infatuated by his opinion. Unfortunately, today it's become such that even people who don't have the right to hold an opinion, because we're living in a modern individualistic world where in the postmodern world, truth is relative. In the postmodern world, truth is relative. What that means is that they don't believe in a universal truth. Your truth is different from my truth. And you should celebrate your truth, I should celebrate my truth, they say. This is the world we're living in. That's why it's saying you can't condemn somebody else unless they're doing something that's harmful to others. That's why morality is also individualistic. Your morality you can have, keep it to yourself though. My morality is my morality. So your haya, your level of haya, your barriers, your limits of haya are yours, mine are mine. You can't say I'm wrong in mine, I can't say yours is wrong. This is what the postmodernism is teaching us, and we're all part of this, unfortunately. So everybody has a right to hold an opinion, and they can be stubborn about that opinion. So when a person beholds any sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as thunder or lightning, earthquake, storms, lunar or solar eclipses, he should experience real fear and dread and call on Allah for refuge and well-being. For indeed, this response is the very purpose behind sending such signs. So to be different than the people of Aad, who are obstinate in the face of the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we see signs, we should think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should think about our weakness. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا نُرْسِلُ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا, that we only send these signs to strike fear. Now, obstinacy is refusal to take heed, rejection of subservience to one's seniors. Its cause is arrogance, narcissism, ostentation, hatred, envy, covetousness, and just following one's own desires. Any one of these will bar the person from accepting and submitting to the truth. Instead, the person will remain stubborn, reject, and prove unjust, and then he will become a transgressor. And once you become established in that position, it's very difficult then to... If you can't stop after 2 days of obstinacy, how will you stop after 5 years of obstinacy? You will then have to build an entire thought process, an entire narrative, an entire story, an entire lifestyle based on that. You will be living a hypocritic life. And that is a marad in the heart, as Allah says in the Quran, fi qulubihim maradun. That's a disease in the heart. You can't lead a truth. You can't be of the Siddiqeen. And the Siddiqeen are ma'alladhina an'amallahu alayhim minan nabiyyin wa Siddiqeen wa shuhada'i wa salihin. We pray for this every day multiple times, which is alladhina an'amta alayhim. Those who you have showered your favors upon, who are them? As Allah mentions in another place, مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ. If you want to be a Siddiqeen and you want this dua to be right, we need to remove stubbornness. We need to remove arrogance. Then we can be of the Siddiqeen, the champions of truth who are truth inside and outside.